board and get excited about what God is doing in our midst. Amen? We're going to talk about vision. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, we're going to look at there this morning, and we're going to talk about the necessity of a God-given vision for a local church. The necessity of a God-given vision of a local church. And we're going to look at these scriptures and see what God has to say to your heart and mind this morning. The verse we're going to key in on is Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we're just excited about what you're doing in our midst. Lord, thank you for our youth, the Lord. And thank you for our youth, Pastor David, and the excitement of our teenagers and youth, the Lord, that have been able to reach this goal in less than 2 months. Lord, what an amazing accomplishment, the Lord. And I thank you for them. I thank you for the heart, their vision. I thank you for what they've done, the Lord, and they've called it, the Lord, and they're trying their best for to raise that money so that we can move forward and we can build here. Lord, may we as adults, Father, get that vision of our youth. May we take notice of what they're doing, the Lord. May we see them as examples for us. May it challenge us, the Lord, to be givers of what you blessed us with, the Lord, to be tithers, the Lord, what you required us to do, the Lord, and sacrificial giving to make it happen. And Lord, we thank you for our youth and their vision and their example that they set before us this morning. Father, may we be challenged by them, challenged by what they've done and what they've accomplished, the Lord. And through this, may it just snowball, the Lord. May it just be known and evident and real, the Lord. And we get it in the papers and out in the community and folks seeing our hairs and what they look like and asking, what are we doing? And Father, may that excitement just roll over. That is contagious here in this place. Father God, we pray that as we open up your word today, and as we talk about the vision for 2012, as we talk about the future, Lord, and what we need to do, Lord, I pray that we will grasp it and take it to the heart and apply it to our life. Lord, defeat the devil, bind Satan, his demons and workers, and cast them outside of here, and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move in our hearts and lives today. Father, we give this service to you. We pray your blessings upon it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Proverbs 29:18. It says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. When I thought about vision, I wrote down several things that I want you to grasp and think about with me. No organization, I don't care what it is, organization, wherever it is, there is no organization that will survive without a vision. There is no company that will survive without a vision. You have always got to be dreaming. You've always got to be creative. You've always got to be inventive. You always got to have initiative, my friends, in order for things to happen. You've got to have dreams. You've got to have goals. You've got to have desires for your marriage, for your spouses, for your children. Dream things for them. Vision things for them. There is no organization that will survive without vision. Apart from visions, individuals will perish. Just as we read right here in verse 18. Without vision, our children will perish. Without visions, communities will perish, will die out. Without visions, churches will perish, close the doors and die out. And sadly to say, there's closing every day. Because there's not vision, there's not excitement, there's not motivation if within the body of people or the person that is delivering the message. You've got to have a vision, my friends. Without vision, lost souls will perish and die and spend eternity in hell. Without vision, the sick and elderly will perish. Without vision, the folks that are incarcerated will perish. Without vision, we as people will perish. The word perished is used in the text. It infers that apart from vision, the people will run wild. There is no thing that controls them. There's no vision that can keep them running and going in the same direction. It means a lack of restraint. The world has gone wild, my friends. We need vision to make that happen. It is a reflection of people who without a revision. Someone has said that vision is foresight with insight based on hindsight. Vision is foresight with insight based on hindsight. George Barna said, vision for ministry is a reflection of what God wants to accomplish through you to build His kingdom, not your kingdom. It's His kingdom. It's His work that we do. John Maxwell defines vision in a threefold manner. He said this about vision: the ability to see. That's awareness. Be aware of what's going on. Aware of where you're at. Aware of what's happening. He said vision is the ability to believe. Attitude, getting our mind right with the Lord and in tune with God. He said vision is the ability to do. That means put action to it and make it happen. Vision is the ability to see beyond the surface of human potential. It is not what we are, but what we desire to become. Vision is a mental picture of a desired future. It is a picture that can be seen what is not yet, but of what can be. It is a vision of the things that can be seen, not of yet, but what can be, if you and I as the children of God will be obedient, as our youth has set the example, to follow through with that. Be obedient to raise goals. Be obedient to follow through. I thought about today. You know, we probably have, I'm going to say 50 family units here. 50 family units, that means a husband, a wife, and children involved in that. I say there's about 50 family units here. And I started thinking about that. If each family unit would just sacrifice one meal out a week, that's a minimum of $40, and would give that each week in a Sunday morning service, those 50 units, that would be $2,000 a week raised for a building fund. If we just take one night a week that we would go out as a family unit and eat a minimum of $10 a person, and say, I'm going to sacrifice one meal a week of our family going out to dinner at a restaurant or something, and we're going to take that money and we would just spend at a restaurant and put it in the building fund. If all 50 family units did that, that'd be $2,000 a week raised for the building fund. Amazing. Sacrificial giving to make it happen, to make what the Lord wants to become real in our life. Where we are in life is directly connected to our vision or lack thereof. To our vision or lack thereof. There's a Japanese proverb that says this: vision without action is a daydream. Vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare. Vision will turn lukewarm, lazy, sleeping church members into red-hot living soldiers on fire for Jesus to change a generation. Vision gives us stability. It gives us guidance. It gives us joy and excitement. The God-given vision will bring glory to God and fit us into His eternal purpose. Into His eternal purpose. True vision from God is not self-seeking, but praises God and brings glory to Jesus Christ. Vision. Vision. The necessity of a God-given vision for a local church. Number one, if you're taking notes. Number one, we need vision to lead us into divine purpose. We need vision to lead us into divine purpose. We need the God kind of vision that will enable us to find our self-worth in helping to build the kingdom of God. How does this come about? Number one, as I said, and we started off last year with prayer. Prayer is going to be key. Prayer is key that we need to have. Pray for vision. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We got to be people of prayer. Prayer of our life. Praying spiritually that God will help us and we will be better in our prayer life for 2012 than what we were in 2011. Is anybody in here don't need improvement on their prayer life? Glad you didn't raise your hand, because I had to change my message to lying. We all need a help in our prayer life, don't we? You notice I couldn't raise my hand. Brother Leroy didn't, and David didn't. We all need challenged in our prayer life. We all need to be better in praying. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We also got to pursue the vision. Have faith and step out and pursue the vision. We got to ponder our vision. Ponder it in our heads and know what the Lord is talking about. Number two, we need vision to empower our inward man. We need vision to empower our inward man. We need the Word of God to enliven our vision. You've got to get in God's Word. And then when you're in God's Word, it will enliven our vision. It will enliven our relationship with Him. It will get us in tune with the Lord. We have got to get in God's Word. We've got to start spending time in God's Word. Is there anybody that can improve on studying God's Word? Or is anybody in here don't need to improve on studying God's Word from 2011? Amen. Good, I don't have to preach online again. We all need help, don't we? We all need help in studying God's Word and reading God's Word and applying it to our life. We need help in these arenas. Help us, Lord. True vision is a result of the Logos and the Rhema, Word of God. Of the Logos and the Rhema, Word of God. The Logos, you know what that is? The Logos is the revealed Word of God. We need help in the Logos, Word of God, the revealed Word of God. The Rhema is the spoken Word of God. It's the spoken Word of God. We need to be in tune with the spoken Word of God. You see, the Rhema Word is the Holy Spirit quickening the Logos Word and transforming it into our hearts. Woo! Amen! We need that living Word of God. We need the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. We need the Rhema. We need the Logos, the revealed Word, the spoken Word. And when that comes together and it's quickened by the Holy Spirit, it is transformed into our hearts. The lifeline of vision, the lifeline of vision is God's Word. It's God's Word. It's knowing His Word. And my friend, the church must simply not start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. If it starts at 11 o'clock sharp and ends at 12 o'clock dull, ain't nobody getting nothing out of the service. We need to be alive. We need to be well. We need to be excited about God's Word. We need to have that excitement and that motivation in our worship service, in our prayer life, in our study time, in preaching God's Word. We need to be excited about what God is doing and not worry about if we start at 11 and finish at 12, which some of y'all are so used to now, we don't finish till 12:30. Praise the Lord. Thank you, because if you're back there doing that, that just tells me to preach longer. Amen. Amen. Preach longer. And I hear some of people all the time doing this because they want me to preach longer. Amen. Preaching it. Then he says, not only that, but search the scriptures, my friend. If we're going to get excited about vision and excited about what God's doing, we've got to get in the scripture. Search the scripture. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 12 says this. It said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a what? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance what? Incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, that are to be enough to excite you right there, to get excited about what God is doing. He said, who kept us by the what? Power of God. Through what? Faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice through now for a season. If need be, you are in the heaviness through manifold temptation. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It said, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. In that verse 8, when I read that, I think about our youth. And I think about what that says. Whom he not seen, you love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I shared a vision with them. They didn't see it, but they grasped it and they believed in it. And they went to work. And that's what we need to do. Go to work for the Lord. He said, receiving in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. What does that say? We got to do what in the scripture? Search it. Search diligently in His Word. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed in verse 12 that not even unto themselves, but unto the they did administer the things which are not reported unto you, but them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. My friends, we got a job to do. If we're going to see the vision of the Lord carried out, we've got to get into Scripture. We've got to search out the Word. We've got to do a better job of studying His Word this year than what we did in 2012, because God has got something great and mighty in store for your heart and my heart. And we've got to get busy and get to work with God and get in tune with Him. And then not only that, but we need to take His Word and we need to sift the Scripture. What does that mean? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, sifting the Scripture, grabbing the Scripture and sifting it and chewing on it. My grandpa used to say, get into Scripture and chew on it like a cow's chewing cud. Swallow it down and regurgitate it and chew on it a little bit more. It's better to second time when you swallow it. Just ask the cow. Get in His Word. Get in God's Word. Study God's Word and apply it. Search those Scriptures. Sift them out. And then share the Scriptures. He tells us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, if we're going to carry out the Scripture, if we're going to carry out vision, then we got to get busy in sharing it. He tells us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Sharing the Scripture. Our work is to take the vision of Jesus and reproduce it into others, sharing the good news that Jesus delivers. That's our message to carry out. Number three, we need a vision to keep us connected to each other. We need a vision to keep us connected to each other. Vision will place the church on one accord and one mind. It gives us a corporate dynamics that was present in the early church in the book of Acts. Both vision and mission are two important components of the church. Mission is the general rule for all churches. Mission includes outreach, fellowship, worship, discipleship, service. But vision is specific to the uniqueness of a specific church. Whenever the body of Christ can get on the same page with the Holy Spirit, the church will experience an unlimited power of God. Just look what we experienced in 2011. Over 100 people joined this church in 2011. Over 40 by salvation. It's because you, the people, and me understand it's a team concept, and we have came together as a team, and we're in one mind and one accord, and it's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. And we grasped that concept as a team, and we came together and put Jesus first in our life. We need vision to keep us connected to each other. Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, 1 through 5, it says this. It says, there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Thank the Lord for the fellowship of the Spirit here. Any bowels of mercy. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Like-minded, having what? The same love, being of what? One accord, and of what? One mind. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. It's not about us. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than itself. We're to encourage one another. We're to motivate one another. We're to lift one another up, my friends, in that. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We got to get tuned in to the Lord. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus, a mindset that He had for us. Number four, We need vision as a trampoline for change. Vision will captivate us and get us going forward and beyond the blockades of life. It evaluates our present condition. We need to evaluate where we are. Where do we stand in life? Evaluate our condition. As I said Wednesday night in Psalms 26:2. It said in Psalms 26:2, examine who? Examine me in Psalms 26:2, O Lord, and prove who? Me, Lord, prove me. Examine me, Lord, O Lord, and prove me. Try who? My reins, Lord, and my heart. Prove me, Lord, try me. Don't sit there and pick on David and pray that, Lord, you need to get David. David ain't right. You need to get David. He messed up. Yeah, I don't like the way he acts. I don't like how he talks. I don't even like how he dresses. We don't need to do that. The Lord said, worry about who?
Me.
Worry about me. Prove me, Lord. Try me, Lord. Prove my heart. See where I am. Prove me. Examine me, O Lord. Improve me and try my reins and my heart. When we do that, we're giving the Lord an opportunity to make corrections in our life. And my friends, and then he'll work out the details in every other aspect of our lives. And then he tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:28, he said, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. And so let he eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says what? Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. He said, prove your own selves. Know you not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. Prove your own self. Enforce the need for change. Don't try to change everybody else. Let the Lord change you. Who's our biggest problem? Me, us. We are. Me, us. Let the Lord change us. Let him enforce the need for change in our lives and energize our efforts. Number 5, we need to know what our vision encompasses. We must have a vision to share the gospel. We must have a vision to grow in the grace of God. Amen. We must have a vision of people with a greater respect of God's church. We must have a vision for equipping our children to impact the youth that they come in contact with. What an amazing youth we got that can impact the whole world. Amen. I hope they've impacted you and challenged you today. We must have a vision to change our communities. We must have a vision to reach our children with the power and the presence of the gospel. We must have a vision to build a battlefield and to fight the drugs and the pornography and the sex and the alcohol and everything else around. We must have a vision to educate our children in a positive way. We must have a vision to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We must have a vision to worship God with a whole person, with your whole heart, not part of it. We must have a vision of a greater Bethlehem. We must have a vision of God's liberating power alive and well in our life and in the life of the church. How do we go about doing that? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 and following says this. It said, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. We got a job to do to teach our children. We got buildings to grow and foundations to lay for our children's children to come behind us to carry out the work that God has in store for us to do at Crossroad. We got to set those foundations. He said, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Don't just talk about it, but do it, and that it may be well with thee, and that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in a land that floweth with milk and honey. When I see that verse 3, I think about what God has done for this church in 2011. God has increased in this church mightily, and a mighty hand of God has been evident and been real in this church in an amazing way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with part of thy heart, with all thy heart, and with part of thy soul, with all thy soul, and with part of thy might, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto our children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest down at the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be in the frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, upon the gates. We're to do God's work, God's way. He has required for us to do them and to teach them to our children and to teach them to those that we come in contact with, folks. And it's our job to do it, to keep His commandments, to keep His statutes, to love Him, my friends, and to do it. He tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12 and following, He said, "And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to what? Fear the Lord thy God. And to what? Walk in His ways. And to what? To love Him." And not only just to love Him, and to what? Serve Him, the Lord thy God, with part of thy heart, with all thy heart, and with part of thy soul. With all thy soul, it's amazing. He said that in two different places and several more, but that's just two I'm going to give you. In verse 13, He said, to keep the commandments of the Lord. Again, to keep His commandments. And His what? Statutes, which I command thee this day for the good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens is the Lord's thy God, and the earth also, and all that is therein. We think we own it all, but that verse right there just tells us who the owner was, didn't it? It's the Lord. Only the Lord had delight in the fathers to love them, and choose their seed after even you above all people, as in this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart. Let the Lord remove it, and be no more stiff-necked. Fear the Lord, for the Lord your God is God of gods, and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty God, a terrible, and with guarding not of persons, nor taketh reward. He doeth execute judgment on the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger, and giveth him food and raiment. He said again in verse 19, love ye therefore a stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou what? Serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave, stray not away, and swear by His name. He is thy praise. He is thy God that hath done for thee great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. The fathers went down into Egypt, and 70 persons. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for a multitude. We've got to have vision, then understand what the vision accomplishes. We must be mindful of vision killers. That's carelessness. That's critics. That's doing things in a customary way. My friends, can kill a vision. We must give ourselves totally to fulfilling of our vision. We must be committed to the Lord, as Deuteronomy, as we just said and read. We've got to keep His commandments. We've got to keep His statutes. We've got to love one another. We've got to be committed about the Lord. We've got to have that compassion, that love that the Lord wants us to have. We got to be contributors. My friend, just as the youth set the example for us in Malachi 3 and 8 through 10, it says, will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me? But you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He said this in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And he said, improve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I want to challenge you. You might have not have given in 2011. My friend, I want to challenge you. Try it in 2012 and see what God will do in your life. Try it. Can you imagine if we all gave? Can you imagine if we took the concept that the youth took and in 8 weeks raised $10,000? If we as adults took that concept and began to give what God has required for us to give, begin to give an offering without for the building fund, can you just imagine what God can do here? Can you just imagine what can take place and what can take off and what God can do? We've got to be contributors, my friend, and being servants, giving of our time, our talent, our tithe, our resources, whatever it is. We got to get busy about what the Lord wants us to do. We got to have a combated spirit. You say, what do you mean? Well, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11 says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in who? The Lord, and in power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm going to tell you right now, in 2012, because we're talking about building and raising money and things like that nature, you better put on the full armor of God, because the devil's going to be waging a war against us. We better put on the full armor of God and understand, my friend, that we got to combat against the wiles of the devil and the trickery schemes of him. We got to get busy. But not only that, my friend, we got to have courage like Joshua did and Caleb and some of those in the scripture. Joshua 1, 7 through 9 says this. It says, only be thou what? And very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do what? All the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He said, turn not from the right and to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Have I not commended thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. The Lord is with us. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We must strive to envision ourselves as God sees us, my friend, and not as we see ourselves. We are strangers here living with a vision of the hereafter. I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of heaven just trying to make it through this world. Amen. And our ultimate hope is that our lives will make earth more like heaven. When we get busy and we start doing God's will, God's way, my friend, and having Danny and Matt, y'all can come back up, and start doing God's will and God's way in our life and having an impact in this community and in society, having a vision, folks, that we've got to get busy. We got work to do, and it takes giving. And my friends, what a great time to start if you never have. We got a building to build. These youth are excited about it. Amen. You heard them. Amen. They're excited about what they're doing. My friend, I hope we're challenged today that we as adults, if we're not giving, we'll give, folks. We'll give and see what God's going to do. We'll be excited about giving. We'll be excited about raising money. Maybe you got a penny jar at the house. Try emptying it out in the offering plate and see what it'll do for you. Oh, listen to me. We got to go. We got to build. We got things to do. We got a community that needs the Lord. We got things and necessities here in our bodies of believers, my friend, that we need to accomplish with God's help. We got things we got to move on and do. My friend, we need to come together, one mind and one accord as a body of believers to get God's work done. If these youth waste $10,000 again in 8 weeks, I don't know what I'm going to do with my hair next time. But whatever they want it done, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I love them. And I want them to know that they're important. And I want them to know that they have as big a part in the ministry at this church as anybody else has. Amen. They got a voice. They got a voice just as loud and clear as anybody else has in here. They got a sense of worth. They called it. They know. They called it. They know.